You're listening to The Pulse. I'm Mike and Scott, and you can find our podcast on iTunes. Corey Cohen is 22 years old, and he's very much the face of this heroin epidemic. He grew up in the suburbs of Philadelphia, and he was prescribed opioids after a wrestling injury when he was 17. He became addicted, and eventually he switched to heroin because it was cheaper. I met him at the restaurant where he now works. He's been working in the restaurant industry since he was about 14 years old. And Corey told me that about a year into his addiction, he had dropped out of community college, but he was still able to maintain a job and an apartment.
My thought in my head was, as long as I had my job, nobody could really tell me that I was a full-blown drug addict because I had a full-time job and I had an apartment. So if I had those two things to hold on to, then nobody could tell me that I was anything else than a hard worker and a young kid who lived on his own. I explain addiction as probably the most strenuous and stressful full-time job I've ever had. On top of working 14 hours in the restaurant industry, I was working 24 hours a day to feed my habit, and eventually I ended up getting arrested. I was physically exhausted and just emotionally shut off to everything. It became time to really make a decision whether I wanted to continue using and either end up in jail or in a grave, or get sober and try to get this whole legal situation handled correctly and get on and better my life. I decided to stop using like a day or two before I actually moved into the recovery house, and I actually illegally obtained Suboxone, which is a drug that helps with the withdrawal symptoms of opiate addiction. And I took it one day and decided that I shouldn't be doing that. If I'm going to do it, I'm going to do it. And I just kind of dealt with the sickness that came along with it. I didn't sleep for a good 3 weeks, or at least sleep well. I had terrible stomach aches. I had terrible nausea. I decided that it was going to be my punishment to myself for, I got myself into this situation, I'm going to sit in it and deal with it and come out on the other end. The recovery house that I lived in was for kids in my age range. I believe the age range in the recovery house is 18 to 25, 26. It was nice to have the camaraderie of a bunch of kids my age. We were all there to kind of help each other along the process. I lived there 3 or 4 months.
Can I get some pickles on this? She said hold the pickles. Hold the pickles. Oh, hold the pickles. Okay.
It was brought to my attention that maybe I have some underlying issues such as depression, which was never treated or diagnosed because I was self-medicating myself. So I've been seeing my therapist and seeing a psychiatrist and trying to see if medication is a good choice for me, because I find that when I hit that low point and I'm in a hole of depression, that sometimes my mind will try to trick me, saying the only way that this will be able to get fixed is if I go and I drink or I use, or just any way to take myself away from myself. But being a year and a half into my recovery, I know when those signals come up what to do with them and what to do about them. The easiest thing for me to do is to just call someone. It's kind of hard to sneak away and do bad things to myself if I have someone who's holding me accountable, who's sitting right in front of me.
Can you order me this coffee before I dump it?
The tattoo that's on my chest is a mantra to everyone who I've ever met who's in recovery. It says, it's never too late to be what you might have been. I got it when I was 19 in college, thinking I was going to go through college and do the college thing. And it wasn't until getting sober and looking, really being able to look at myself in the mirror, because during my entire addiction, I don't think I ever looked at myself, or like really looked at myself in the mirror. I might have glanced at myself, but like I couldn't look at myself. And hopping out of the shower one day, I might have been like 90 days sober, and I seeing it on my chest, it was like, this is, I got it. Someone somewhere, maybe a higher power, call it God, call it whatever you want, knew that this was going to happen to me, and it's marked on my chest forever that I feel as though I'm becoming the person that I was supposed to be